Speaking on this program is Jim Dearman.
Our Lord Jesus Christ understood the importance, the preciousness of friendship. We think about Jesus' friendship with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It's a friendship that's well documented in the Scriptures. And from that friendship, we're going to draw a lesson today about a particular incident where Mary and Martha were together hosting Jesus in their home. Martha was preparing the meal, but Mary was at the Master's feet. We're going to talk about today how important it is for us to spend time at the Master's feet. The Lord's friendship with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus is a beautiful thing to behold in our study of the Scriptures. In John 11, of course, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And in John chapter 12, where they hosted a supper for Jesus, Martha had served. Lazarus was one of those who was at the table with him. But on that occasion, Mary took some precious, costly oil and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And on that occasion, there were those that complained. Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, specifically complained on that occasion and said that this could have been given to the poor, the cost of this oil. Well, of course, we know about Judas Iscariot, don't we, and where his heart really was. But Jesus responded to that and said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial." That's just one of the beautiful incidents of the friendship of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus with our Lord Jesus Christ. There's another that's recorded in Luke 10, 38 through 42. And that's the one I'd like for us to study together today. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. The Scripture reads, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" That reading from the New King James in Luke 10, 38 through 42, contains some very poignant and powerful lessons about how important it is for us to be where Mary was on this occasion, and that is at the Master's feet. Let's look at some of the lessons we may draw from this text today. This certain village that is mentioned is obviously Bethany. From other scriptures, we may obviously learn that that's where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived. And we also see here that when they welcomed Jesus into the house, Martha welcomed him, Mary is mentioned, and it is also mentioned then that Martha was distracted with much serving. Now, she welcomed him, first of all, into her house. What does that indicate to us? It indicates that she was a very hospitable person. And certainly that is commendable. In fact, hospitality is a lesson in itself that we could teach about, because hospitality is a very important quality. When the qualifications for elders are given, for example, hospitality is one of those very necessary qualifications. An elder is to be hospitable. But that's not something that's exclusive to the elder in the Lord's church. No, every Christian should be hospitable. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, a certain class of widows is under discussion here. And the admonition that Paul gives is, "Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man." Now notice some of these other qualifications. "Well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, there's hospitality. If she has washed the saints' feet, another act of hospitality. If she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. And so, obviously, there is importance attached in Scripture to hospitality. And it is not something to be taken lightly. Let's read another passage from the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 3 beginning. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So you see, there are several passages in Scripture that can be cited to show the importance of being hospitable. And so it is commendable that Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. And she was very concerned about being the kind of servant that she should be, the kind of hostess that she should be to her guest. Incidentally, another very familiar passage that we could cite from the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10. The virtuous woman, who can find? Her price is far above rubies. And of course, a part of that description depicts the hospitable nature of that virtuous woman, that worthy woman. And so, hospitality is not something that is to be taken for granted nor considered lightly. It is to be highly commended. And indeed, Martha was to be commended for her hospitality. But now, let's go back to the text, Luke chapter 10, and look then at what is said in verse 39. She had a sister, Martha did, that is, called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. Well, the act in itself is indicative of her humility, of her hunger for truth. She sat at the feet of Jesus. It also indicates a submission to the obvious authority that she recognized in Jesus. And oh, that the world today would see that authority of Christ, recognize His authority, and submit to that authority by submitting to His Word, to the New Testament. Mary had that kind of attitude, that kind of hunger, that kind of humility. And the verse says, she heard the word. We need to sit at Jesus' feet and hear the word. No, literally, we cannot sit at the feet of Jesus. But how can we do it? By the study, the diligent, daily, and deep study of His word. That's how we sit at the feet of Jesus. And we are blessed and privileged to have in our possession, available to us, His last will and testament, the final depository of all His teaching and all that He authorized as He gave the Holy Spirit to the apostles and other inspired writers who empowered them to write and record for all time to come the words of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, the will of Jesus for our lives. Oh yes, we need to be at the Master's feet, as it were, and we can be at the Master's feet as we study His holy word. That admonition needs to be followed by all the world, doesn't it? But further in our text, when we look at verse 40, we see something more about Martha. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached Him and said, Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Martha was distracted. The word simply indicates that she was drawn away, that she was overoccupied, that she was too busy about a thing. According to Thayer, that's what this indicates. Drawn away, overoccupied, too busy about a thing. And she felt sure that Jesus was going to come to her aid. When she came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care?" Now that word care is the word that is the same word for care used in the second part of another passage of Scripture, 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. That verse says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Now, the first word in 1 Peter 5, 7 for care is the word that indicates anxiety, being anxious, being worried, casting all your worries upon him. That's what we're told to do because he cares, and that's a different word for cares in the original Greek language. The word cares for you indicates a deep concern, not anxiety, but a care and a concern. Well, it's that word for care that is used here by Martha when she says, "Lord, do you not care?" In other words, are you not concerned? Are you not concerned that Mary has left me to serve alone? Do you not care? If we just stop right there with the question, we have a powerful lesson, don't we? Lord, do you not care? And the answer is yes. Oh, yes. Yes, the Lord cares. He cares very deeply about every precious soul who has ever lived or ever shall live. The Lord cares. But the Lord considers the spiritual more important than the material things. And that's what we learn from this incident. But Martha says, "Lord, tell her to help me. Tell her to help me." Now, we can almost sense the anticipation that Martha had in making this request of Jesus. She just felt sure that he was going to say, "Why, yes, Martha, you're right. I'll tell her right away." She expected the Lord's agreement with her, but instead, what she received was a loving rebuke. Yes, it was a loving rebuke, but it was a rebuke nonetheless. And it is a rebuke today to all who are drawn away, distracted, overoccupied, too much concern for things there. It is a rebuke to all who lose sight of the good part and become distracted about many things. And that's what happened here. She became distracted about many things. What about us? What about us? Well, Jesus, in verse 41 and in the next verse, points out a sharp contrast between the many and the one. Again, we go back to our text in Luke 10. And in verse 41, Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." And here's the contrast that he draws between the many and the one when he says, "But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." The contrast here is between the many and the one. He says to her, "Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." But notice how he says it, "Martha, Martha." Can you not almost hear the tone in the Savior's voice, in the repetition of her name, "Martha, Martha"? Yes, a loving rebuke. The rebuke of a friend to another friend. And when he says you are worried, he uses a word that means just that, to be anxious, to be anxious. It's the very same word that the Lord used in his great Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Listen, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" It's the same word for worry, for anxiety that is used. Martha was worried. She was overly concerned. And then he also adds to that, troubled. Troubled. To be troubled in mind is the idea here. To be disquieted. It comes from a Greek word, turbazo. Turbazo. That sounds a lot like turbulence, doesn't it? And really, that's what's going on here with Martha. A very turbulent mind. There's a lot of turbulence going on with Martha. About what? About many things. Many things. And you know, many things crowd out the most important thing sometimes in life, which is the kingdom of God, the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the parable of the sower, in Matthew 13, verse 22, Jesus talked about the thorns, the cares of the world that choke out the word and cause people to become unfruitful. Many things get in the way of the one thing of vital importance, the kingdom of God. And in Matthew 6:33, Jesus made it clear, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Today, the lesson for women in the kingdom should be, yes, be industrious. Be industrious. But let that industry be the outgrowth of an abounding and active faith. And do not allow industriousness in itself to preclude spiritual growth. Be industrious in the Lord's work based on that active and abounding faith. But you know, sometimes it is possible to be busy around the Lord's work instead of being busy about the Lord's work. And we need to guard against that. Does our busyness leave no room for study of God's Word and growth in the kingdom? Could it be that in the Lord's church sometimes we become busy with fellowship meals and baby showers among the ladies and certain workshops or visitation meetings without accomplishing much in the way of encouraging the weak, improving our teaching, reaching the lost, restoring the wayward? Oh, not that these other things don't have their place, don't get me wrong, but make sure they don't crowd out and eclipse the one thing. Let's be busy about the Lord's work and not busy around the Lord's work. Burton Kaufman wrote a poem entitled "The Daughters of Martha." Let me share it with you. There's the bed to make and the mail to meet, the bills to pay and a guest to greet, the phone to answer and a dress to press, the house to order and a child to dress. There's the shopping list and a million things as the duties mount and the doorbell rings. For Martha's daughter is a busy one and a woman's work is never done. In summer and winter and day and night she toils and finds in the task delight. She heals the hurt and foils the stroke, and proudly indeed she bears the yoke. But toiling hands at the last are stilled, and the toiler's place by another's filled, and the better part she might have won is forever lost when the day is done. Let's be busy about the work of God, not around it. And let's remember that, as Jesus said, the one thing is needed. And again, we're reminded of Matthew 6, verse 33. Mary stationed herself at Jesus' feet to soak up all that flowed from the words of the Master. She chose the good part. What is it? The Word of God. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will by no means pass away." Matthew 24:35. That's the good part. That's the enduring part. That's the part we must choose. Obey the Word. And once we have made that choice, have chosen the good part, no one can possibly take from you. Oh, you may willingly forsake the blessings of having obeyed the Word, but no one may snatch them from you. And so as we close our lesson today, we plead with you to choose the good part. And it is a choice. And once you've chosen the good part by believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing Him as the Christ, and being buried with Him in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, cleansed by His blood and added to His church, station yourself at the Master's feet and grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.